Welcome to a very special edition of the Red Foam Zone. Here in the middle of the wonderful Blizzard of Oz, or the snowpocalypse, the whole entire Midwest is covered in snow, and as Ethan lives 50 miles away or what have you, he didn't feel like driving up here, and I don't blame him. And Shay didn't feel like walking over here, and so I just canceled this week's normal edition of the Red Foam Zone. But I do have Ethan Skyping in. Say hello.
Hello. I was shoveling snow for 2 hours this afternoon, so...
Yeah, I went out to get a drink and got the car stuck and all that good shit, so it wasn't very fun. Yeah, but I got it unstuck and got... Well, Rachel helped, and, yeah.
I ventured out briefly in my mother's SUV to return the Social Network to Redbox, but that was it.
Ah, okay, cool. Very good. But yeah, that kind of brings us into what we're doing. We decided that we're not going to be doing a normal edition of Red Foam Zone, but technology's a nifty thing.
Yep.
So what we are going to be doing is we're going to be going over Ethan and I's Oscar picks for 2011. We're going to go through it in detail. We're going to go through each and every single additional category. We're going to say who we do think is going to win. We want to get it on wax so we can just say, I'm not going to be a dickhead and say that this is the end all be all. If we decide we want to change it before the actual ballots come up, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
we're probably going to be doing some sort of broadcast during the Oscars at my place here for the Oscar party. So
sure. Which will be good. And we decided to leave Shay out because he doesn't have a clue what's going on. And
no.
He thinks
Oscar is some guy on the corner.
Or a guy that lives in a trash can on Sesame Street, but that be
too.
That as it may.
Might be the same guy living on the corner right now.
Yeah, who knows. But before we get into that, we do want to touch on two little geekly happenings before we get rocking on that. And just because, you know, they're pretty big news, and we want to talk about it like while it's fresh in our mind. The first being that Superman has been cast in Zack Snyder's up-and-coming Man of Steel film. And he is going to be played by Henry Cavill. Mm-hmm. I don't know the dude at all.
I've seen him on The Tudors. I believe in The Tudors, I think he's the Duke of York, at least in the last couple seasons of it. And I have not seen the last season of The Tudors, but he's really good in it. He's not a guy I would have pegged as Superman. I mean, he's British.
Yeah.
So, which really doesn't mean anything. I mean, obviously, with some voice acting, that's not going to be an issue, but
mm-hmm.
It's an interesting choice. You know, he's sort of in Tudors, he's rugged and manly and a womanizer, so it's sort of not Superman.
Oh, come on. Superman's kind of a womanizer.
Yes, but not really rugged and manly or as much a womanizer as this guy is.
Kind of an effeminate little prick. I don't have a problem with it because A, I don't know the dude.
Yeah.
And B, I kind of, you know, heard through various channels on the internet and whatnot, and take those as I've said, as, you know, channels on the internet, so they might be total bullshit. But why I understand it is it took this long to get to a choice for Henry Cavill because, as everybody knows, Christopher Nolan is going to be mentoring this film, and he has been assigned the task of sitting on Zack Snyder. I didn't know you have a cat. Huh.
We have three, in fact.
Damn, I didn't know that at all. But yeah.
This is Yannick. He's an idiot.
Hi, Yannick. Hi, Yannick. Are you an idiot? Kitty, kitty, kitty. Wow, he's a fat cat. I like fat cats. But yeah.
He's actually put on a lot of weight since we got him about a month ago. When we got him here, he was rail thin. He was not healthy.
Did you get him fixed or any of that stuff?
Yeah, he's one of best cats.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Little
yeah,
is,
I love kitties.
Pandora's over there, and then Harley's around.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, back to Superman. I mean, cats are awesome and all that, but yeah, apparently Warner Brothers has tasked Christopher Nolan with the task of sitting on Zack Snyder and not turning Superman into 302 or whatever.
Right.
Or Watchmen, for that matter. And
right.
there are rumors. What is the name of the guy that played Ozymandias in The Watchmen?
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
Well, way I understand it, Snyder wanted him, and Nolan wanted him. Well, Nolan wanted Cable, and they ended up like getting into a fight over it, and at the end of the day, Cable won out. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I don't care. My only real thought on the matter is if they're going to stick him in that in this age bracket, he is 27 years old, that I would just prefer them stick with Routh. Routh, I believe, is 30, 31, something like that. I mean, yeah. He's really close to my age. I remember that. So, but we'll see. Another Superman, a reboot. Hopefully it'll be good. I really want to see it.
Yeah, I agree. Movie's got a lot going for it. I know Nolan is sort of there as a that actor's name is Matthew Good.
That's right, Matthew Good with an E.
Yes, with an Goody. Yes.
Goody.
We could just been interesting and say, oh, we'll just make it Jackie Earle Haley. He'd be an awesome Superman.
He'd be an awesome Luthor.
He would be a good Luthor.
We'll see.
Although I really don't think Luthor's going to be in the movie. That we really don't,
I don't know.
Know. Yeah, honestly, we have no idea. So I think they're just finishing the treatment on the script and all that. So, you know.
At this point, what we know for 100% certain is that Superman is going to be in the movie. We know that for sure.
And there's lots of names flying around for Lois Lane right now. All of it's conjecture. And I was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if these ladies were up for Lois Lane? So we'll see who they go for.
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean... So, you know, I might actually ban this movie if they recast Bosworth at this stage. If they did that, I'd be pissed. I would not like that at all, but hey.
Well, if they cast Bosworth again, you mean?
Yeah, as Lois Lane.
They're not going to do that. If they're not going to keep Routh, they're not going to keep her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that would just be, like, a really bad move.
Yeah, it would be dumb.
Yeah.
It would be stupid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Go ahead.
Only thing I was going to say is, did you want to talk about the Dark Knight Rises rumor?
Yeah, we can.
Again.
You know,
again.
You and I have been very vocal on our support for Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and how we both think he's a top-notch actor that has a real good career ahead of him. So.
Yeah.
But the rumor flying around is, obviously, he is going to be in The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, that is not a new rumor, and the reason that we're talking about
That's
it
true.
Again... I mean, this is something we talked about, I think it was on 23, issue 23, that he was actually in talks. And then at the time, the talks was that he was going to play the Riddler, and then Nolan came out and said the Riddler's not going to be in the movie. And then we had Tom Hardy and... Anne Hathaway dropped on us, and we thought that was that. And then today I go to imdb.com, and like the top story is, it says Joseph Gordon-Levitt will be in The Dark Knight Rises. And so I'm like, woohoo! And so I start reading the story, and it's not 100% official yet. And I'm kind of hoping it, I mean, obviously I hope it is, but I just kind of hope like this second breath of, you know, life into the story means it actually is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because everybody is... I mean, well, I don't know about everybody, but everywhere I've read, everyone's really gunning for him to be playing Hugo Strange, and I'd love to see Hugo Strange in this movie.
Well, because the BS, well, the rumor that you and I both flagged that sounded like BS was Robin Williams was being flung around, and he's no stranger to being attached to Batman, so.
And it's because of how vocal he was about wanting to play the Joker in Tim Robbins, and then. And
Tim,
I think
you mean Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Rob. Yeah, Tim Burton's Batman.
I was say Tim Robbins as the Joker.
Yeah, Tim Robbins Batman. Actually, Tim Robbins wouldn't be a bad Joker, an older Joker.
Yeah.
Just like Peter Boyle's 127 hours. So yeah. I want to see it happen. I think that, you know, I mean, obviously I want to see this movie because I'm a bat fag. But, you know, I mean, you throw him in there and you throw Anne Hathaway in there and you have Nolan directing it. This is really shaping up cool.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah. So why don't we just, like, jump right on into the Oscar nominations. We ended up, obviously, you and I always talk Oscar nominations for the most part. And then, you know, this year we talked a little bit about it on the show. And then I think we kind of got started talking this Saturday or Sunday when you saw The Social Network. Is that correct?
Oh, I saw Social Network yesterday. I saw that on. I watched it on Monday.
Right.
And over the weekend on last Friday is when I saw King's Speech.
Ah. Okay. Right. Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we are both on Oscars.org and we are both looking at the nominations list for this coming Oscars this February 27th. And let's just jump right into it. Actor in a leading role. We have Javier Bardem for Beautiful. We have Jeff Bridges for True Grit. Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network. Colin Firth for The King's Speech. And James Franco for 127 Hours. What do you got to say about it, Ethan?
Well, like I said, I've only seen two of the movies, two of the nominees' performances. I've seen Jesse Eisenberg and Colin Firth, and I will be seeing True Grit, so Jeff Bridges again. I think, looking at the list, I think there's always that, well, they've already got one type of attitude always with Javier Bardem and Jeff Bridges. And I think with Jeff Bridges just coming off of an Oscar last year, too.
Right, and actually,
it's going to hurt him.
Yeah, and it was honestly a superior performance. He was fantastic in True Grit. I mean, just fantastic. But he was better in Crazy Heart. And on top of that, there are better people in this category. Because I'm like you. I've only seen The King's Speech, Social Network, and True Grit. And Beautiful is something that I will rent. And 127 Hours is something I'm going to be avoiding like the plague. We talked a little bit about that off air.
Yeah.
I love James Franco. I really, really, really do. I like Danny Boyle, but I don't want to see a movie with. I don't want to see a movie about a guy stuck in between a rock and a hard place, and then at the end of it, he has to break his arm off. That will make me throw up. I damn near threw up when I saw the hobbling scene in Misery. But
yeah.
As it stands. Actor in a leading role. Who are you going to throw your hat towards?
Well, obviously the two that I've seen, the Jesse Eisenberg and Colin Firth, they're both I think amazing performances. Colin Firth is always a fantastic actor, but Jesse Eisenberg does just an amazing turn in The Social Network as well. I thought I would probably throw my money behind Colin Firth because I don't believe he has an Oscar yet. He's been nominated a few times.
He was nominated for A Simple Man. That was, if it wasn't last year, it was the year before, but it was a very good move.
And I think he's had a long, he's had a long good career. And I think probably with The King's Speech, his performance is just amazing in that as well. So I really think they'll probably I would throw my hat in for Colin Firth.
And that's where I'm going to go also. But I'm going to go a step further in saying that it's who I want to win.
Sure.
I mean, Colin Firth is who I want to win, and I think Jesse Eisenberg was very good in The Social Network, but I also think that it was a role that's, you know, that he's perfect for, and he did an excellent job, and, you know, I saw deaths there that I never thought was possible out of him. At the same time, I think that this is probably going to be the crowning achievement of his career. And Colin Firth, I mean, you got the whole package. He's a great actor. He's been around for a long time. And, you know, I think it's just time to kind of throw him that gold, and I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't hurt that I do not think that he has lost an award this season yet.
No. No, because I think he picked up the SAG the other day, so.
And, he did.
I would not be upset if Jesse Eisenberg won, but I think Colin Firth, I think it's about time he pick one up.
Upset is a harsh word, but I do think that Colin Firth is very much deserving of it. And honestly, I wouldn't be too upset if Jeff Bridges wins one. He was very good in that, but at the same time, I just think that his win from last year is going to harm him. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. But good category.
Yeah.
Moving on down to actor in a supporting role, we have Christian Bale in The Fighter, John Hawkes in The Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner in The Town, Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right, and Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Out of these, I have seen The Winter's Bone, I have seen The Town, and I have seen The King's Speech. out of the ones I've seen, Jeffrey Rush deserves it, but I still think it's going to go to Christian Bale.
Okay.
I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
I've only seen The King's Speech out of that list so far, and I think Jeremy Renner probably does a great job in The Town, but he's also coming off of an Oscar win last year.
He didn't win, Ethan, he didn't win last year.
Oh, did he not? That's right, he was nominated last year.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, he's a young actor, he's got a long career ahead of him. I really think the hype I've been hearing and a lot of the talk and the buzz has been for Christian Bale in The Fighter, and we all know how much of a method actor that guy is. So, as far as Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech, he's excellent, but when is he not excellent? You know, I mean, and I think...
I know, and isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That's actually going to work against him.
And I think, sadly, that does work against him, and that's why I think Christian... I'm going to go ahead and agree with you, and I think Christian Bale's probably going to walk off with it. Although I think it's funny that three of those people are superheroes.
Yeah, they are. That's awesome. At the same time, I mean, I could absolutely see an upset in this category. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale is, you know, very publicly despised in his field, and he will have people in his field voting for or against him.
He got the Golden Globe. Didn't he?
Yeah, but that's the Hollywood foreign press. That's not other actors.
I know.
But, yeah, he did get the Golden Globe, and I don't have a problem with it. When it comes down to it, I mean, I think he probably is a jerk, but we're not voting a nice guy. We're voting an actor, and I haven't seen it, but that's probably the next one on my list. I do want to see that. It looks like a good movie.
You can say what you will about Christian Bale. I mean, he might be an asshole, but he is a good actor. I mean,
he is.
I mean, you can say the same thing about Marlon Brando. He's an asshole, but he's Marlon Brando. I mean, so. I just don't think Christian Bale's reached that point of where he can be an asshole.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando got excused because he was Marlon Brando.
Yeah, and, Christian Bale isn't quite there, but, you know, he's a good one. He's a real good one. All right, move on. Swan and Michelle Williams and Blue Valentine. Only one out of all these I've seen is Winter's Bone, and Jennifer Lawrence does not deserve an Oscar for it. All of the categories so far has been throwing it to Natalie Portman for The Black Swan. I'm going to throw my weight in there, and I'm going to say Annette Bening's going to win it. She's been snubbed many times, and I've heard nothing but good things about her and the kids are all right.
Only one off that list I've seen is Natalie Portman in Black Swan, which, not a secret, I wasn't a big fan of the movie, but it's not a movie made for me.
Sure.
Nicole Kidman's had her day. I don't even know who Jennifer Lawrence is off the top of my head. Michelle Williams. I know who Michelle Williams is, but...
Sure. Natalie, I haven't seen Blue Valentine.
Natalie Portman's getting a lot... it's sort of the it girl, I guess, right now. She's sort of the star child, I suppose.
Right.
Really, she's on all the lists of people who it's like, hey, we'd love to have Natalie Portman do anything. But I see what you're saying about Annette Bening and the kids are all right. But Black Swan just seems to have some unknown why this momentum behind it. So I'm going to go ahead and just throw in for Natalie Portman on that one.
And you're probably going to beat me out of that category. I'm just going to go because I just kind of have a feeling that Annette Bening just keeps on getting the shaft, and it sucks. Yeah. And a lot of times they vote for the past. They don't vote for that category. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. And now moving on. Actress in a supporting role. We have Amy Adams in The Fighter. Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Melissa Leo in The Fighter, Haley Steinfeld in True Grit, and Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom. I have seen The King's Speech, The Fighter, or excuse me, The King's Speech and True Grit. I don't know. I really need to see The Fighter, especially for this category, because we have two of the five or out of The Fighter. I do know that Melissa Leo has been winning this one in all of the... And all the other award shows. I liked Helena Bonham Carter a lot in The King's Speech, considering how much I do not particularly like her as an actress. Haley Steinfeld was awesome, but she's just probably too young. I could see an upset here, but it's probably going to go to Melissa Leo. I just kind of have to go with the statistics on this one.
Yeah, and I've only seen the King's Speech on this list. Helena Bonham Carter was excellent in that, and I'm with you, sort of not a huge fan of hers, but she did a real good job of underplaying her role and sort of doing this low-key mm-hmm. performance. I've heard nothing but just awesome things about Hailee Steinfeld, so I'm going to go ahead and throw my hat on her. I doubt she's going to win, but...
You threw it at Hailee Steinfeld?
Yeah, I don't. She's probably not going to win, but I've just everyone I've talked to and has basically been saying she's amazing. So
she's really good.
So that's
really good.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it on that one. So I'll have a better idea after I see the movie this week.
Okay. Yeah, but she is very good. All right, so I guess we're out of the we're out of the animated. We're out of the acting and moving on to animated feature film, which has now been cut down to only three films. So this year we have How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3. I've seen How to Train the Dragon and Toy Story 3. I have not seen The Illusionist, although I would like to. I'm going to go against my gut, and I'm just going to say Toy Story 3. It was just so good.
Yeah, and I've yet to actually watch Toy Story 3 yet, but I have seen How to Train Your Dragon, and I think just the Pixar the Pixar powerhouse behind it, I think it's going to be Toy Story 3 again.
And when I say that I'm going against my gut, I don't want I don't want that taken to mean that I don't. I mean, I think it's a great movie, mm-hmm. and I want to see it win. I'm just kind of wondering what's going to happen. But art direction.
Mm-hmm. I think we've both said, back to animated film real quick, we've both said that there is a chance that people could vote against it, basically, because it's Pixar saying, well, they've won so many, let's give it to something else. And How to Train Your Dragon was really good.
Yeah.
If that happens, that happens. I wouldn't be upset, but, I mean, I haven't seen Toy Story 3 yet, so.
I love Toy Story 3, so. Mm-hmm. And I liked How to Train Your Dragon a lot also, mm-hmm. so, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be upset if it won, but we'll just see what happens. It'll be good.
Sure. Now we're on to art direction.
We're going to have Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, Inception, The King's Speech, and True Grit. All right, on this one, I have seen all of those. So, you know, that just strikes me as something that The King's Speech should win, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the times they don't go with the fantastical in there. Even though, you know, maybe they should. Maybe they should.
They might surprise us this time. You know, I don't really have a desire to see Alice in Wonderland. I've seen Harry Potter, Inception, The King's Speech, and I'll be seeing True Grit, obviously, this weekend.
Right.
Well, Inception's a great movie. I think, really... I'm going to have to go, I think, with King's Speech as well on that one. It was very well. The art direction was amazing in it as well. But that's a hard one sort of to call. But I think it's sort of for me between King's Speech and Inception. But I really think they're going to go with King's Speech.
I'm sitting there exact same place because, you know, looking at the overall picture, I don't think that Inception really has a chance of winning Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And this might be the biggest the biggest award it could get. Yeah. So we'll just see what happens, but I got to say The King's Speech at this point. All right, moving on to cinematography. We have The Black Swan, Inception, The King's Speech, The Social Network, and True Grit. Have not seen Black Swan. And I imagine what I've seen from the trailers and stuff, it looks like it's got really nice cinematography. Mm-hmm. The Social Network...
I'm honestly surprised that Black Swan didn't get a nomination for art direction.
I was kind of wondering about that.
Or for costume design, because, I mean, I thought that stuff was really amazing, albeit I didn't like the movie, but I liked that stuff in it. It was pretty impressive. I've seen four of those five movies now, so, as far mm-hmm. as for cinematography. I think the problem I think people are going to have with Inception is that it felt more digital than anything, and that it was, I think some people would say, well, all those environments were, you know, all rendered and stuff like that. We all know that David Fincher always does phenomenal work with the camera. And so Social Network, haven't seen True Grits. King's Speech. King's Speech had a lot of great camera work in it.
It did, but it just wasn't very big, you know?
Yeah.
And this is one of those ones where people throw, you know, they just throw caution to the wind, and they almost always seem to, like, go and throw it behind something big. I gotta go with Black Swan on this, even though I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go. It's a tough decision. Sort of, because when you say cinematography, you don't know how the Academy's really going to interpret that this year.
Right.
I'm gonna go ahead and go with Social Network on it. Just sort of go with my gut instinct, and I'm probably wrong. It's probably gonna go to Black Swan, but. You know, Social Network.
Okay, cool. All right, moving on down to costume design. We have Alice in Wonderland, I Am Love, The King's Speech, The Tempest, and True Grit. I have no idea what I Am Love nor The Tempest even are, so I've seen the other three. Man. Out of what I've seen, probably Alice in Wonderland had neat costumes. I mean... But I think I would need to know more about those other two before I could say for sure. But right now I'm sitting on Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Out of that list, I'll probably have to go, as much as I'd hate to, with Alice in Wonderland as well. Just King's Speech was great. The costumes were wonderful. But, again, I think it was not grand enough, or I think maybe it was too subtle for some people to really notice that.
And that's what sucks about it, because, you know, chances are what they did is they pulled a lot of that stuff off of the rack and they used, you know, period pieces, and which is, you know, appropriate. I mean, imagine if Colin Firth was walking around in the Mad Hatter's hat in that just because it was larger than life. I mean, it would have taken you out of it. So, I mean, it's too bad. I mean, you're right that sometimes when these smaller things, you know, get overlooked, but I think it will be Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with you, Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, now we're getting to one of the big ones, direction. We got Black Swan, it's Aronofsky. The Fighter, it's David O. Russell. The King's Speech is Tom Hooper. The Social Network, David Fincher. True Grit is Joel and Ethan Coen. I have not seen The Black Swan or The Fighter. Okay, this one actually... I think it's going to be David Fincher, and I think that because The Social Network was a fantastic movie, The King's Speech was a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. Everything I'm hearing, The Fighter is very good, The Black Swan is well directed, and yeah, The True Grit was very well directed. Joel and Ethan Coen just won an Oscar 3 years ago for No Country for Old Men.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say David Fincher at this stage. I mean, he is a very respected director. He's done a lot of work. He was just nominated, was it last year with the Benjamin Button, or was it 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago. I think it was 2009.
Yeah, seems right. I just got to say that because I do think, I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I do think that The King's Speech was the better directed film, but I think that the fact that David Fincher has that body of work behind him, mm-hmm. and he also directed a very, very well directed movie, it's going to go to David Fincher.
I think for me,
that's what I think.
Yeah, for me, it's down to David Fincher or Darren Aronofsky, and I probably will agree with you and go with David Fincher on that one. For The Social Network, it was directed very well. I mean, the movie felt very tight, very very well done. Darren Aronofsky, I could see sneak away with it, just as a because Black Swan's sort of getting this whole, you know, ooh, Black Swan's awesome type of thing going behind it. But
yeah.
I really would like to see David Fincher walk away at some point with an Oscar, and I think he stands the best chance right now with Social Network.
And I do, too. And I think that a lot of people are seeing David Fincher as growing up because,
right.
you know, we know him from shit like Seven and Fight Club and things like that. And now he's actually starting to turn in like these really well-made emotional movies, and I think people want to reward him for that. So that's why. But at the same time, I would not be disappointed in the least if Tom Hooper won, because I think that was a very well-directed movie.
Yeah, I agree. But I think you sort of hit the nail on the head with he's got a long career ahead of him now. So
yeah.
He's just starting to put out these movies that are just amazing, and you know, so I like to see. I think people are going to say, "Well, this is a great start. Let's see what happens," you know. And I think was the initial reaction with M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. And obviously he fell on his face, but
he did. But then you have people like Sam Mendes, who won his first time out the gate, and he's had a decent career afterwards. But you know, he's still trying to live down that shadow of American Beauty.
Yeah.
So I guess now we're going to get into documentaries. We got The Exit Through the Gift Shop, Gasland, Inside Job, some word I can't say, and Wasteland.
I think it's Restapro.
Restapro.
Restapro, I got nothing.
Weird enough, I've actually seen Exit Through the Gift Shop.
I have neither heard nor seen any of these, so...
I liked Exit Through the Gift Shop, but it's kind of like the big documentary this year.
Okay.
I'm going to go against my gut. I'm going to say Exit Through the Gift Shop. I just don't know anything about it.
Okay, I'm going to go Gasland for, I don't know.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like a Holocaust movie, huh?
Either that or it's about oil. So, and I know that's a big thing this year with BP and all that. So, we'll go with that. I have no idea. Otherwise, I'm making entirely an uneducated guess at that one.
Right. Okay. Documentary short. Killing in the Name. Poster Girl. Strangers No More. Sun Come Up. Warriors of Kwai Gang. Haven't heard of any of them or seen any of them. Let's say Sun Come Up.
Sun Come Up. Oh, let's go with Strangers No More. Sure.
Why the hell not?
Why the hell not?
All right, now we're going to be getting into stuff that we know about, so this will be good. All right, we got Black Swan for film editing. We're talking film editing now. The Black Swan, The Fighter, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, and The Social Network. Out of all those that I've seen, we always have to throw that caveat in there, I not only think that The Social Network will win it, but I think it deserves it. That was a very tightly, very well-edited movie. It's very hard to direct and edit people talking and people talking fast like they did in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to give it that.
I think for me it's down to Black Swan or The Social Network, and I think Social Network is going to beat it out, just because it's a bit more recognized type of work. So I'm going to go with Social Network on that one.
Okay. All right. Foreign language film. We have Beautiful out of Mexico, Dogtooth out of Greece, In a Better World out of Denmark, Incendies out of Canada, and Outside the Law from Algeria. I'm going to go with Beautiful because it has nominations in other categories. Once again, I have not seen... I've actually heard of all of those, but I have not seen any of them.
Yeah,
but I'm going to go with Beautiful.
I would go with Beautiful as well, just because it's the only one out of that list I've even heard of.
Yeah. And actually hearing stuff means something.
Yes.
All right. Getting down to makeup. We have Barney's Version, The Way Back, and The Wolfman. Let's go with Barney's Version on that one, because the way I understand it, The Wolfman isn't that fucking good, and I don't know what The Way Back is.
I saw The Wolfman just recently, and it was not a bad movie at all. It was very very much an homage to the Wolfman of the you know, the Lon Chaney Wolfman of the 30s. It was in the 30s, I believe, yeah. And, you know, I don't even really know what Barney's Version is or The Way Back. But I really don't think The Wolfman's going to take it.
It's got Rick Baker in there, and that's going to work against it. They created the makeup Oscar for Rick Baker.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'll go with your expertise and say Barney's Version as well, just because I have because I don't think Wolfman's going to get it, even though the makeup in it was great. But, you know, we're also talking a movie that came out last February, March, something like that.
Yeah. And truth be told, I didn't even notice that was on there until I'm actually reading through this. yeah. All right, now we're getting into music. How to Train Your Dragon, Inception, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, and The Social Network. Wow, that's a tough one. My gut says Inception, but Hans Zimmer has won a couple of times before. We got Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for The Social Network. You know what? I almost want to throw this behind How to Train Your Dragon. That had a really nice score. I really liked that movie.
It did. I think I'm going to throw mine behind Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for The Social Network. Probably just for name recognition. I think a lot of times I've noticed with music or in song and stuff like that is it goes to the one you really sort of least suspect, and that would be the one I'd least suspect, so that's what I'm going to go for.
Yeah. You might be right. Come time that I'm actually filling this out, I might actually change it, but I don't know.
I can see Academy.
All right.
I can see Academy people sitting there and voting and going, hey, it'd be kind of cool if Trent Reznor said he had an Oscar. So,
yeah.
That's sort of my logic.
Kind of like Eminem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well. All right. Music original song, Coming Home from Country Strong, I See the Light from Tangled, If I Rise from 127 Hours, and We Belong Together, Toy Story 3. Let's go with Coming Home, the Country Strong one. Randy Newman is the Susan Lucci of the Oscars. It took him forever. I think he got 17 before he actually won, and I believe it might have been for Toy Story. I guess I'll just go with Coming Home.
I think my gut instinct is to go with Toy Story 3, but I'm always wrong on the original song, so... I'm going to go ahead. You said Coming Home. I'll go with If I Rise from 127 Hours.
Okay.
Sure.
That'll work. All right. Since we're going alphabetically, we're down to the big one right now. Do you want to come back to that?
Yeah, let's come back to
it. Let's
do the big one at the end.
All right.
So down to short film.
All right. Short film. We have...
This is animated.
To short film at this point. We have Day and Night, animated. We have Day and Night, The Gruffalo, Let's Pollute, The Lost Thing, and Madagascar something. I'm going to go Day and Night.
A Journey Diary, yes.
I'm going with the Day and Night because I loved it. I loved that. It's the only one I've seen, but I also loved that. I mean, that added to my enjoyment of Toy Story 3 a lot.
All right.
So that's where I'm going.
Haven't seen any of them. I'll go with Day and Night as well. If it's Pixar, generally is a good bet on that. So,
sure.
That's one I'll go for.
Now we're to live action short film. We've got The Confession, The Crush, Gotta Love, Nah Wave, and Wish 143. Let's go Gotta Love because I don't know what the fuck any of these are.
I'll go with The Confession.
All right. Sound editing. We got Inception, Toy Story 3, Tron Legacy, True Grit, and Unstoppable. Unstoppable, that was that train thing with Denzel Washington and Captain Kirk, right?
Yes.
I thought so.
I've seen two of these movies. I could really see Inception taking away for technical award, although I think I'd like to see Tron Legacy get something, but I'm going to go with Inception on it.
I am too, honestly. I mean, it's the only one that even stands out to me out of that. And then we have sound mixing. Mm-hmm. All right, sound mixing. We have Inception, The King's Speech, Salt, The Social Network, and True Grit. I'm going to go with The Social Network on this, actually, because like there was a lot of scenes in that when they had to get the sound just right because of like the background noise and things like that, like in the bar scenes I just thought that it was actually mixed really well, and it was very important for a movie like that. So I'm going to go with Social Network.
I'm going to go with my gut and say that a lot of the technical stuff is going to be going to Inception this year. So I'm going to go with Inception on that.
Okay. Visual effects. Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. Hereafter, Inception, Iron Man 2. I have seen all of those. And I guess I'm going to go with, I did like the effects quite a bit in Hereafter, but they're a lot more practical effects. What? Okay. What do you say, Ethan?
Which one did you go with?
I went with Inception. Although, yeah. I did like the effects in Hereafter.
Right. That's the one I will probably go with as well. Of the ones on there, Iron Man 2 was awesome. I loved it. Visual effects I didn't think were anything to go nuts about. Same thing for Harry Potter, Alice in Wonderland. I'll have to go with Inception.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right, now we're getting down to the big three. We're getting down to the screenplays of picture. Writing for the adapted screenplay is 127 hours. The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. I'm going with Social Network on this, no hesitation. Yeah. I think it should win, and I think it will win.
I agree. Social Network should win, will win. I think it's just got a bit of a powerhouse behind it already. Of those five, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Social Network.
Excellent. All right. Writing for the original screenplay. We have Another Year, The Fighter, Inception, The Kid's All Right, and The King's Speech. I'm going to go with The King's Speech. I even though the way I understand it, I thought that was a book, and I don't understand why it's an original screenplay. That wouldn't that be adapted?
I would think, yeah, but huh. I guess it must not be. Out of that list, I think really the writing on Inception was fantastic and needed to be dead spot on in order to have that movie flow and make sense. But I really think the fact that it's sci-fi is going to really knock against it. I'll go with the King's Speech on that.
Cool. All right, now we're down to the big one, the best picture.
Yep.
All right, so we have The Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kid's All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. And I've seen, what have I seen? I've seen Inception, The King's Speech, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. I'm going with The King's Speech. I think it was the best movie I saw last year. I know that this is probably where I'm going to fuck myself because it could very easily go to The Social Network because that was a fantastic movie, but I just think that they're going to throw the Oscar to Fincher, and I think they're going to throw the picture to King's Speech.
Yeah, out of this list, I've seen Black Swan, King's Speech, Social Network, and that is it so far. I think for me, King's Speech is an amazing movie. Is it a better movie than Social Network? Yes, but I think the way I'm looking at it is Social Network is a movie that feels like it was made in 2010. It feels relevant. It feels current. Whereas The King's Speech is a movie that could have been made 10 years ago. So I'm going to go with Social Network. I think it's going to sneak through here and take it just because of its relevance in today's society and how it is. Everybody knows what it's talking about, and it's just so—it's so relevant now. So I'm going to Social Network on that.
Yeah, and do you understand what I meant when I told you now that movie makes no sense and it was as fucking good as it is?
Yes, yes.
I mean,
it really, you sort of sit there and hear the premise, you're like, that sounds dumb, but then you go watch it and like, solid performances, solid writing, solid direction all comes together to make it really good. And you're like, huh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I was just blown away at how good that movie is. So, yeah, cool. So, yeah, I think it'd be kind of funny if Social Network and King's Speech bounced off each other in Toy Story 3 won. Yeah. And, you know, that'd be awesome. It'd be like the first ever animated Best Picture winner. Although I am on record, and I still feel strongly that I don't think that an animated film nor a foreign language films should be allowed to be up for Best Picture because they have their own category.
Yeah, I agree.
But hey, I think just me.
For that reason, I think one of those ever nominated for Best Picture will never win because of that.
I'm not going to say never. I'm going to say probably not this year.
But I think, well, yeah, I think it, for me, it's for the foreseeable future. I think when the people are sitting there and voting, it's like, well, I already gave this best animated film. I'm not going to give it best picture. I mean, I want to spread the love around. That's the way I sort of see it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And that's the way it needs to be. So, cool. So, March 27th, we're going to have an Oscar party and maybe do some sort of broadcast from your house. That'll be interesting.
Yep. But we could probably I could set up a webcam and we could do a simulcast.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I will endeavor to have a tux of some kind. Dress up.
I have one, so I'll bring it. Okay, I guess that's been our Oscar show. Tune in next Wednesday for issue number 42, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That will be 42 next week.